And thanks to the help you get from ASC Certified Technician Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul, we'll help you keep it running. Good morning. It is our Car Care Show. Danny Long here. Nick Stoffel is with us on the Big Horn here. Good morning, Nick.
Good morning, Danny.
How are things at Lloyd's, and how was your week? I assume it's still a busy time for you guys.
Yeah, we've been very fortunate this day. Quite busy, obviously, through the winter here. And if you've been out and about, the roads are not the best, so I suspect that we'll continue with this busy trend for a while here. But we cannot complain. We've been very fortunate. We've got great customers and a great staff, as you know, and we're just each day one at a time.
Yeah, absolutely. And as an old boss said to me once, you asked for work when you came here. So I guess that's true.
I will note that one. That's a good one.
Very good. If you have any kind of a vehicle problem with your car, your truck, your van, and you need to bring it in for service, and you want to know what the heck could be wrong with it, why don't you call or text Nick? He's going to be with us for just a little over a half hour from now before Jack Farrell steps in. So don't wait. And you don't have to be any kind of a gearhead or motorhead to ask any kind of complicated question. If you drive a vehicle and have problems with it, give us a call or send a text. There's one number to get you either, 651-461-9226. But don't wait. Let's hear from you before we run short of time. We always tend to get busy toward the end of the show. So don't wait, 651-461-9226. Kind of a lengthy text. Nick, so maybe I could kind of simplify it here. It's about tire pressure, not only during the winter, but if the texter wants to know, he or she reads, you know, on the panel as you open your door, you can see what the cold air minimum pressure is for your tire. But what if he or she says, what if I get new tires? These aren't the tires that came with the car. Does that same number apply to these new tires?
It does, because the idea is to keep the level of traction, the handling, the feel of the ride of the vehicle. The tread or the brand or the tire itself isn't the issue. It's the pressure that's in between the tire and the wheel. So as we go down the road, the door jam, as they said, you open the driver's door, you look down at the sill plate, look down, and you'll see a little sticker right there, and that'll tell you the size of the tire. Tell you what the tire pressures are at cold. They say cold, so we're consistent. Now, what will happen is that might say 32 pounds or PSI. As you drive and the tires will heat up, the pressure will increase a little bit. So what they're giving you is like the bare minimum bottom entry-level number. Sometimes people might opt to go a couple more pounds up just to kind of have a safe gap there. But whether it's a new tire, old tire, whatever you have, that's irrelevant when it comes to what the pressure should be. The pressure is designed for the handling of the vehicle and the ride, traction, all those comforts, and I guess you could say quality also.
Yeah, okay. Interesting question. I never thought about that in that regard. So thank you for that. Again, here's our phone number if you want to call and chat with Nick, 651-461-9226. Speaking of the phones, let's go to the phones. Gary is calling in from St. Louis Park, I believe, this morning. Gary, thank you. What is your question for Nick?
Hi, good morning, Nick. Good morning, Danny. Nick, I've got a car that I keep in storage over the winter, and I usually go out and run it maybe once or twice a month just to circulate the fluids and everything. And I had a friend of mine that told me that that's not a good idea, that it's best to just leave it sit until spring when I take it out again. And I'm just wondering what your opinion is on that.
Well, it is an opinion, clearly. I don't completely disagree with this, you know, getting the battery moved or getting the battery with the tender and just let it sit. If you're going to run the vehicle, it has to get fully warmed up. The oil will absorb moisture. A lot of the fluids will. The exhaust will. So if you're going to let it run in the garage, you know, you got to let it get fully warm, even hold it off idle to give the exhaust the chance to burn off the moisture. As we all know, you start a vehicle in the winter, you start driving down the road, you see this cloud behind you. That's water evaporating. That's actually, you know, steam. So if that steam collects in the exhaust, and water evaporating. That's actually, you know, humid or steam. So if that steam collects in the exhaust and doesn't blow off or burn off, you're just creating more moisture, which can create rust. So if I have no problem with you running the vehicle in the wintertime, but you got to run it long enough, so make sure you got the garage open and air it out. And you probably have to get it off idle to get enough movement, enough action there to allow all that condensation and moisture to burn off.
And Nick, looking at the forecast, thanks, Gary, by the way, for the call. Looking at the forecast, we expect cooler or colder temperatures, not sub-zero. So I know in the next show or two, we're going to be getting questions, and I might as well ask you now, personally, how long do you keep your personal vehicle warmed up before you take off in the dead of winter, Nick?
So the vehicle doesn't care a whole lot. We do. So I'll remote start my truck as I'm pouring my coffee and walking out the door. It's a minute or two. I think that the vehicle appreciates the chance to kind of, you know, stretch out a little bit in the morning. You know, you get up, you want to stretch your legs a little bit. But the vehicle, the fluids, you know, within a few moments, they're happy and fine. It's more or less us walking out there and having a cold seat or cold steering wheel, whatever we might have. But as you know, you don't go out and start the vehicle with a key and leave the vehicle running with a key, and it can, somebody can very well hop in the vehicle and take it. So don't do that. But if your vehicle is capable of remote starting where you can't take the vehicle, you want to do it for a few moments, that's fine. But keep in mind, and we hear this every winter, people will come in and say, my gas mileage isn't as good as it used to be. It's notably different. The vehicle at idle is burning a lot of fuel. So if you are noticing that your gas mileage is cut back a lot, think about your daily cycle. If you have your car outside running for 15, 20 minutes every day, that's too much. You probably shouldn't be doing that. So it's a balancing act, but keep in mind you're burning fuel, and it isn't necessary other than for our comfort.
Absolutely. Good point. Hang on, Nick. We're going to take a quick break. Again, as we head back after the break, if you have any kind of a car care question, you want to call or text right away, before we run out of time, 651-461-9226. We have a bunch of text messages we'll get to when we do come back here on News Talk 830 WCCO. Hey, good morning. Welcome back to CCO Radio's Car Care Show. Denny Long on this end, along with ASC certified technician Nick Stauffel from Lloyd's Automotive on beautiful Grand Avenue in St. Paul. Nick, for those that don't know, tell us, give us a location exactly where Lloyd's is located.
Actually, thanks for asking. So if you're in St. Paul on lovely Grand Avenue, we're at 982, which is right on the corner of Grand and Chatsworth. So stop and say hi anytime. If you ever have to give us a call for a question or some advice, we're at 651-228-1316. And if you're on your laptop or your tablet or whatever it may be, lloydsautomotive.net.
Excellent. We'll get you that info before Nick takes his leave, which is close to 7:45 or so. So if you have any kind of a car care question, by all means, love to hear from you, either by phone or by text, 651-461-9226. I want to get some text messages, but you know what? Debbie calling in from Ogilvy this morning. I want to get Debbie's question answered here. Debbie, thank you for waiting. What's your question?
Hi. I have a 2015 Prius V, and I usually run it in eco mode for the transmission. It also has EV or power for passing cars or just driving in the parking lot, but I turned it on the other day, and usually it just starts in echo mode, and it says that on the dashboard, but it didn't say that yesterday, and I can turn it into power mode, and I can put it in EV mode, but it never goes back to saying echo on the dashboard, on the display panel. Do you think there's something wrong? Because it doesn't show me any error or any check engine light or anything.
Not necessarily. Check the owner's manual, but there may be a criteria. First of all, sometimes temperature, drive length, the amount of fuel in the vehicle. There's a lot. Sometimes there's certain criteria that we're not aware of that need to be met for whether it's eco mode or sport mode, or sometimes some of the adaptive stuff requires certain criteria to be met. Also, inadvertently, there could be a button near your knee in and out of the vehicle. Somebody might hit a button that will turn something on or off that they're not aware of. You know, sometimes it's traction control, economy mode, different things like that. And finally, in the settings, you know, you get into that control panel and you go through some of the settings and you look, there might be something that's turned on or off that you didn't realize that you can reset there that will allow it to go back into echo mode. So if there were something mechanically wrong with the vehicle or something wrong where it was not functioning as designed, I'm quite confident there'd be a warning light on the dash telling you need to, whether it's an exclamation saying you need to see service and check engine light or something to at least alert you something's going on. So this case, I suspect the setting got changed or button got bumped, and that doesn't make the vehicle very happy. So therefore, now the that particular mode isn't available.
You know, you bring up a good point, Nick, about reading the manual. I'm probably as guilty as anyone until there's some problem. And I thought, maybe I can find out in the manual. It's amazing. I will probably not know what my car has on board forever, you know, because many cars have a lot of interesting information that one never knows. Maybe some people do. But I tell you, I can still find new things I never knew even after all these years.
You will absolutely have several aha moments if you exactly. read the owner's manual. I mean, and not to sit through read it end to end, but if you you're concerned or question a particular feature, you go to the front, you know, or the back of the book, and then you can kind of needle it down to a few pages, and you just kind of peruse that a little bit and say, "Oh, wow, I didn't know I could do that." And then, you know, a lot of, you know, some of the comfort features, you know, the hands-free talking, or some of those things that are quite nifty if you get them set up properly. So do engage that manual. If you find something, get online, do a little more research, help yourself get that set up the way you'd like, and you might find yourself surprised.
Yeah, one thing, and we'll get back to text messages, that you guys do all the time at Lloyd's, is that reset your maintenance light or whatever. And I have to go back, even though you guys do it for me, I go back and look and say, well, maybe I can do this myself. And it's amazing. You've got the directions. And maybe not all manuals have that, but mine does. And, it's kind of self-help, and it kind of works out. But, all right, here's a text that some of us who maybe have gone on a few years, do new cars still require a break-in period? Any special care during the first couple of months, texter wants to know.
I'm not aware of an actual procedure. However, if I just spent that kind of money on a new vehicle, myself, I would probably pause. If I bought a new truck, for example, if I was going to be plowing snow or pulling a trailer, I might give it a few hundred miles just to kind of break the brakes in a little bit, allow the engine and transmission to have a couple really good heating and cooling cycles. It's probably not required, quite honestly, but I think just based on the fact that the amount that the vehicle costs these days, I would probably give it a few hundred miles before I did anything too strenuous or overloading any part of the vehicle.
Yeah, I do vaguely remember many years ago being asked, at least in a manual or whatever, now don't go over 50 or 60 miles an hour for about a month. I'm not sure if that's, you know, the rings getting seated or what the deal was back then. But interesting question. Thanks for that. I tell you what, let's do. We have to look at that forecast, see what this coming week's weather promises to be. So we have a few minutes remaining. And we'll grab some text messages when we come back. But if you do have a car care question, 651-461-9226. It's a Saturday. Here on News Talk 830, this is WCCO. CCO's Car Care Show. Denny Long here, along with ASC certified technician Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive on the Grand Avenue in St. Paul. Nick, we have a few minutes to go, and we have a few text messages of folks to help out here. So let's get to it. Here it is, 2021 Trail Boss Chev truck, 5,000 miles on it. It's at the dealership, getting all new lifters. Texter says, I found out it's common. Dealership won't say why they are failing. You think I'm going to have a continuous problem with the truck?
Fair question. Not necessarily. Typically, if there's a a warranty repair, a bulletin, or in some cases even like a recall. Most of situations, with the, maybe the consumer doesn't see, there's a lot of legwork behind that. There's a lot of publications, a lot of information, likely updated part numbers because they found a flaw in the design of the component or the part. And so I don't think it's a telltale sign that you're in trouble. Obviously, be aware, check the oil level, you know, be diligent the best you can. But I would think after a short period of time, you'll learn that the vehicle's okay and you'll go back to being comfortable and reliable. So I wouldn't be too cautious other than the fact that with any mechanical piece of equipment, you need to be aware and do the little checks and balances.
Okay. Listener in Richfield sent a text saying my car battery was tested as bad twice, but the car starts fine, seems to have no problems. What would be your wise advice for me?
As Denny said, the forecast is trending in a colder direction.
Yeah, right.
When you test a battery, it tells you the capacity, the capability of that battery. The warmer it is, the less need. So quickly, what we're talking about is the battery has a set amount of amperage stored in it, you know, or watts or energy. So when you turn the key or push the button to start your vehicle, that starter engages and it takes a certain amount of power to turn that engine to get it spinning. As we know, when it's colder, fluids get thicker, resistance increases, making more of a draw on that battery. And that battery doesn't have the needed amount of power or reserve in it. It's not going to spin that engine fast enough to start it. So it's 30 degrees, it's great. Zero might not be. So
yeah.
It's a fine line. You know, it's mid-January, late January. We still have another month, 6 weeks of potentially very cold weather. If you're a do-it-yourself or you're okay with maybe needing a jump start, that's okay. If you're like, no, I don't want anything to do with that, go get a new battery.
Yeah, be proactive. Yeah. We were talking about manuals and for your car. This texter says they have a new truck. Doesn't have a paper manual. It's built into the dashboard screen. How about that? That's handy.
Yeah, that is handy. Therefore, you cannot lose it, which a lot of us do.
That's right. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, the only difficulty there, and I'm sure you can find it online also. If you talk to the manufacturer, I'm sure there's a way to find it online so you're not stuck sitting in your car reading it. But oftentimes you want to be in your vehicle reading it because so that way you can touch the buttons and the controls to manage that. So. I'm sure there's a couple ways about that.
It's a trade-off. This texter is talking about a manual. The manual from my Silverado pickup truck says, this as far as a break-in period, says do not pull a trailer for the first 1,000 miles. So thanks for that information for that type of vehicle.
And that seems reasonable. That definitely seems reasonable. I don't, a truck could cost you $80,000. I think you should give it a little time to wear in before you go and pull a Bobcat somewhere.
Here's an interesting one. Text, I'll just read it. My daughter got a 2019 Buick Encore last summer, and the owner's manual was in French. When asking about getting the manual in English, was told it was only available online. You think she can get her hands on an actual manual to keep in her car? I wonder why that is. Was it built in Montreal or something?
That's strange. Well, there might be... depending on different countries' requirements, some countries might require you get a paper copy. Others might not. You know, I'm assuming that ours doesn't, that they offer it online. And, it seems kind of silly, but you can go online and find it. You can always print it if needed, too. I guess my advice would be if this particular listener is trying to deal with a certain part of the vehicle, you could probably find that manual, find those two or three pages that are relevant. Print those pages and go to the vehicle and do whatever it is that you're trying to do.
I know we have to run here in a minute. Nick, have you at Lloyd's seen a lot of, given these icy conditions we've had, a lot of damage people running into besides other vehicles, curbs, things like that to kind of mess up your tie rods and all the steering mechanisms? Have you seen some of that?
We have, and, obviously we always pick on St. Paul for the streets in the winter, and rightly so. I mean, the streets have just been horrible, but this freezing and thawing, I just because it's good for business doesn't mean we want it. But when you have these three freezing thawing cycles, you get all this water. It works its way into those cracks in the road. It freezes. What happens with water? It freezes, expands. It's going to make that asphalt buckle, starts that whole process. And then we drive up and down, and we're going to plow over it to even dig it up more. And I hate to say it, but I think that the streets of the spring are just going to be horrendous. Not that they are now, but aren't now. But the steering and suspension portion of our business, tie rods, ball joints, tires, struts, that's going to be a very busy time of a year for us.
Yeah.
And, you know, we want to fix people's cars, but we don't want we like wear and tear and, like, you know, maintenance and, you know, parts wear out. I have no problem with that. But when you're dealing with a situation where it's no fault of anyone but the roads, it makes you feel a little, you know, you don't feel so good about those situations.
Yeah. Well, Nick, we have to run. Always a pleasure. How do we get in touch with you guys at Lloyd's if we need some help?
Absolutely. If you ever have a question, feel free to call us at 651-228-1316. And if you're on Grand Avenue, we're at 982. Poke your head and say hi. And you got a question, ask it to any one of the guys at the desk there. They'd love to help you out.
You have some of the nicest people in the business, but you know that already. Nick, thanks so much again, and we'll talk soon.
Sounds good. Thanks, Danny.
Okay, Nick Stoffel, ASE Certified Technician at Lloyd's Automotive. Jack Farrell straight ahead here with his wine chat. Then get those lawn and garden questions ready for Master Gardener Teresa Rooney in the 8 o'clock hour on News Talk 830 WCCO.